really thought that was funny the other day when I said that The Wizard of Oz was a Judy Garland movie. Here she is, Judy Garland, with me at the studio, at the laundry, in the laundry room, keeping me company here. This is Martin Zender. And for those of you who think that you want to fit in, who think that fitting in to the mainstream is helpful, I'm going to give you something that's extremely helpful. I'm going to the first two chapters of Ecclesiastes right now, because this guy had it knocked down. And yes, if you're watching the laundry cam, I got tired of my phone cord. I thought it was artistic flourish for a while, but now it's burdensome, so I've gotten rid of it. But listen, this is so great, because King Solomon had this figured out. This guy tried everything. He was the ultimate reality star. He was ultimately plugged in. He was, he won every showcase on The Price is Right. He had every chick in Hollywood. He had, money for nothing, chicks for free, that whole thing. He probably was in a rock band. That's not mentioned. Richest man on the planet. It's got wives and concubines. You know what concubines were? They were women just for sexual purposes. They were trained in the sexual arts. They weren't wives, but they were, this guy was rather engaged with the Eon. And if anybody had risen to the top of the class and was at the heap of the popularity club in high school, college, and whatever else you want to talk about, it was King Solomon. And this is what the guy had to say. It's very instructive what he had to say concerning his fame. And so I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. Here we go. The words of the assembler. Why is he called the assembler? Well, because he assembled stuff. That's why. He brought several different types of writing together, and he put it in one book. He took all his wisdom and put it down in a book, and today we call it Ecclesiastes. The words of the assembler, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the assembler. Vanity of vanities. This is a concordant version. Very accurate. This is the most accurate version of Ecclesiastes since Ecclesiastes was written by this man, Solomon, the assembler, brought wisdom from all his experiences. He took all his little notebooks where he had all his wisdom written down. He assembled it, put it in one book, and it was miraculously preserved. This is vital stuff for your peace today. It is vital for any of your friends who are not yet in the body of Christ, looking over your shoulder, who are thinking about maybe starting a YouTube channel and trying to get famous. This is for you, because you people standing over the backs of my friends here, I consider you my friends too, and I'm telling you that there's going to be a huge swell of popularity in government. Even government is going to become great. Everything's going to become wonderful, and you're going to be so tempted to be swept up into it. It's going to be cotton candy and lollipops and peppermints and all kinds of great things, but it's going to look like the name of God is on it. It's going to have the name of God on it, and it's not look like. It's going to have the name of God on it, but it's going to be a vast deception. And even now, you are being lulled into it by all the things, by plugging yourself in, Like, I have headphones here that I use for my broadcast, but I do it so I can hear myself to make sure the volume is right. So I don't have these things on all day while I'm in the grocery store or driving my car. I actually spend time to think. I actually spend time removed. I actually turn my phone off. Some people can't believe that I turn my phone off at night, but it's true. I'm Martin Zender. I turn my phone off at night. And people say to me, Martin, what if there's an emergency? What if there's an emergency? I will find out about that emergency in the morning after I've had a good night's sleep. I don't want to be accessible at night. Unless, of course, my place gets set on fire here. Maybe somebody does a load of wash. They forget to take the lint out of the dryer and the lint catches on fire. I will be noted of that. I will be apprised of that, because the flames will be looking at my bed, which is behind me here. That's where I sleep back here. That's my bed right there. It looks like a sofa right now. See it? It looks like a sofa because it is a sofa during the day. Yes, that's my phone plugged in right there. You see my phone? But guess what? It's not turned on. So you can't call me right now. Ha ha. I'm very happy about that, actually. Sorry, it's not that I don't like you. I don't want to be contacted right now. So that's my phone, but that's where I sleep. So anyway, any emergency that happens to my immediate environment here with my loved ones here in the house, that will be dealt with me summarily. But as for problems that occur around the globe, that those can wait until I have had a good night's sleep. Right, Judy? Oh yeah. She knows how it is. All right, so vanity of vanities, says the assembler. This is the king of the world. Listen to this. What wisdom here? Vanity of vanities, the whole is vanity. I've often been asked, Martin, what do you think of the rectum as a whole? I'm still contemplating that. The whole is vanity. What advantage has a human in all his toil? Ooh, this is not only talking about all the ways in which you want to be entertained to death, it's talking about your toil. What's the advantage of a human in all his toil, which he toils under the sun? One generation goes and another generation comes, yet the earth is standing for the eon. You notice that? The earth doesn't care. The earth is standing for the eon, yet the generations come and the generations go. And yet we have the audacity to think that we can screw up the earth by not segregating plastic from glass or paper from whatever. No, the earth stands for the eon, no problemo. The sun rises and the sun sets and gasps back to its place. Boy, this was said back in the day, what, 500 BCE, 500 before, years before Christ. I don't know when this guy wrote for sure. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to disrespect him, King Solomon, but even then, he perceived the sun as gasping back to its place. Don't you feel that way? Sometimes at the end of the day, I mean, you're just gasping. And the sun itself is, in a figure here, said to gasp. The sun doesn't literally gasp, but it's said to gasp because the sun itself is exhausted of its weary toils. Of course, the sun doesn't move, but it's a flaming. It's a giant ball of pulsating radiation and hydrogen, and it's just like. And it's tired of it. It's tired of making stuff grow. It's tired of making it hot here in South Florida. It's just gasping. That it may rise there once more, going to the south and turning around to the north. What's happening here? Okay. Going to the south and turning around to the north. Around and around the wind is going. Talking about the wind now. Going to the south. South. Turning around to the north. Around and around the wind is going. Yet on its course the wind returns. So even the wind has a cycle and it comes back and it comes back. And what's happening here is the wise man is seeing things in this seemingly interminable pattern. The things keep happening the same way over and over and over again. And isn't that what wearies us concerning life, is that it goes over and over and over again. And yet life at times to us seems exciting. It seems exciting when we're in the movies. It seems exciting when we're listening to music. But I guess the wisdom here is that take a deep breath. It's good advice for me too. It's just not that great here. In this eon, that I remind you continuously, this is the eon that crucified Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind. This eon is not your friend. This eon is an enemy to faith. This eon, this cosmos, this arrangement, and the time period during which this arrangement prevails is at enmity with God. Even the people who claim the name of God are at enmity with God because they don't know the true God or the true Christ. So we, those of faith, are stuck between the rock and the hard place. The rock is the world, the banging, clamoring, jangling, arrogant, swaggering world. That's the rock. The hard place is even those who name the name of God. The overwhelming majority are not true believers. They are posers. They are fakers. They are whitewashed tombs. Solomon surely knew this. He saw this, and he's lamenting over it here in this fantastic writing. Going to the south, turning around to the north, round and around the wind is going, yet on its course the wind returns. All the water courses are flowing to the sea, yet this is not filling the sea. The sea's never filled. To the place from which the water courses are flowing, there they are returning to go forth again. It's like nothing is produced. What does the wind produce? What does the sea produce? It goes and goes, comes back, and yet it just repeats the course. All the words are weary. Except mine, of course. Mine are funny and entertaining and brilliant. A man cannot utter it. In other words, he's so exhausted that he can't even utter the horror of what he's seeing, of things being repeated, the repetitiveness of life. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. And there is the problem. And there's where the Jews make so much money, because our eye is never satisfied with seeing. You see one great image, one great movie. Okay, that's fine. I'm done with movies now for the rest of my life. Oh, no. You need 10 more movies by the end of the week. In fact, why don't you join Netflix so that you can just download a movie every day at your leisure? You remember the day when only the rich and famous could watch movies at will? I remember it was bizarre to think that rich, famous people. I remember, who was it? Like Hugh Hefner, the Playboy guy. He had all these concubines, but even better than that, he had a VCR. And this was before anybody had a VCR, and he could watch movies. And I remember seeing like a picture or a film or something where it's like, what? Hugh Hefner can just put forget the concubines. Hugh Hefner can watch any movie he wants anytime by putting this thing in. And yet the eye is never satisfied and the ear is never satisfied. And here's Solomon, who has concubine after concubine. Possibly even in that day he had a VCR, and yet his eye and his ear was never satisfied. And he's telling us this in case anybody gets the idea that they're going to try this experiment. This is the purpose of Solomon. Maybe I should say this as my time runs out here in the waning moments, that Solomon was an experiment, just like Job. Job and Solomon were both not experiments, but demonstrations of God. I would rather be the Solomon demonstration than the Job demonstration, but Job was a demonstration of how evil drives a man to God, and of how religious attainments, which Job had, all the religious attainments of knowing God, of theorizing about God, of covering your bases in honor of God, none of these things can match actually experiencing God, the power, majesty of God. That's Job. Solomon is here to help us. Solomon's here to help those of you who think that gaining everything in this world and fitting in with everybody in this world is the ultimate happiness and the ultimate joy. Because nobody experienced that to the heights, the breadth and the depth that King Solomon did. And he is here to tell us. He is here to tell us that, look, I've been through it all. I've had everything that you think you want. I've won the lottery of life times 1,000. I'm the most famous man on earth. I'm the richest man on earth. I have the hottest women in my service that exist on the planet. I have a VCR, and I have just racks and racks and racks of movies that I can watch anytime I want. I have a cotton candy machine in the back. I have servants, I have gold, and you know what? It's all vanity. It all sucks. Take it from me. This is what he's telling us. Spare yourself the pains of trying to fit in with this world. Spare yourself now, because God has used me as an example of it. Yeah, okay. At first I was excited, says Solomon, to be the example. Good. I'm happy to be an example of a guy who gets everything he wants in life. But now that he has it, he looks back on it and says, it's all loss. It's almost like Saul, who became Paul, attaining to all these degrees in Judaism and Phariseeism and coming to the top of his class in religious zeal. And he looks back on it and he throws it on the trash and says, all that stuff's worthless to me. Job came to the same thing about his religious exercises. It's all rubbish to me now. I just want to see God. Forget all that I did this and I sacrificed this and I was perfect and I tried to keep my eyes from all the beauty of the world and I really disciplined myself. Garbage heap. Garbage heap. Solomon, all the treasures, all the wisdoms, talk about your 15 minutes of fame. No, he had 15 years of fame, 15 decades of fame. I don't know. Look back on it, forget about it. And he comes to a fantastic conclusion. And I'm going to show you that conclusion. We're going to go through, this is a sidetrack. I just realized that. We're going to go through these first two chapters of Ecclesiastes to spare us the traumas of the unveiling of Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And I hope this is a good warning to those looking over your shoulder who still think that they want to join the happiness that seems to be this eon and this cosmos. It ain't happy. It's like the Titanic. It looks happy, but it's headed to the bottom of the ocean.